I'm Jules.
And I'm Sophia.
And this is
the Austin Archives.
Oh man. So yeah, we are once again talking about Pride and Prejudice and the Lizzie Bennet Diaries.
Woo! Woo!
So I can talk about Pride and Prejudice, do a little review / ramble about the book. So that's it. The book, it was published in 1813 at the time by the author of Sense and Sensibility. Later, Jane Austen was like, it is I, you are welcome. And we were all like, yes, good, great, excellent.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Lee. And the book is about, oh, so many things, but mostly about the Bennets and the Bennet family and the forays of them and their society and in relationships, the main relationships in the book, well, romantic wise anyway, are Elizabeth Bennet to Mr. Darcy, Jane to Mr. Bingley, Lydia to Mr. Wickham, and let's see, other notable characters that we see in a lot of adaptations, including the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, that come up in the original text are Mr. Collins. In Lizzie Bennet Diaries, he is also known as Mr. Collins or Ricky Collins. And who else is mentioned? Lady Catherine de Bourgh. Here in Lizzie Bennet Diaries is just Catherine de Bourgh. And who else shows up? Caroline Bingley is here now. Colonel Fitzwilliam is the name of the character in the book. This adaptation is Fitz. Is it Fitzwilliams?
I don't think his last name was ever given, actually.
I don't know either. No, I'm just curious. It's Fitz. And Fitz is really fun. And we'll get into that. Who else? Anybody else show up so far? Mrs. Gardner is mentioned.
Yeah.
But in this adaptation, it's Dr. Gardner. George Wickham. Eye rolling. There. Shows up. Who else? Oh, Mr. Darcy shows up.
I know. I was going to say the big one.
the big reveal. We'll get into how iconic that was at the time and still is today.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if that's anything else you would like to add, because that's what I can think of right now.
Nope, I think you covered it.
Alrighty.
So, just as a little reminder, the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, we watched episodes 50 through 75 and, like, mm-hmm. all of the extra content in between, including, like, question and answers, Lydia's video diaries. Yeah, I think that's all the extras that came with this one. And basically it spans the time from in the book, comparatively, Lizzie going and visiting Charlotte, mm-hmm. To Lizzie returning home. And I guess we kind of see the downward spiral that Lydia has. Or at least the beginning of it. But just as like a reminder, the Lizzie Bennet Diaries was a YouTube series that spanned from 2012 to 2013. And it stars Ashley Clements as Lizzie Bennett, Julia Cho as Charlotte Liu, Laura Spencer as Jane Bennett, Mary-Kate Wiles as Lydia Bennett, Maxwell Glick as Ricky Collins. We can finally talk about Daniel Vincent Gord as William Darcy. And then we have Jessica Jade Andres as Caroline Lee, and Craig Frank, who plays Fitz, whose name is Fitzwilliams, like you said, according to IMDb.
Yeah.
And then Brianna Cuoco as Mary Bennett appears for a couple episodes. So
yes, true.
There we go. That's our little spiel.
Yeah. That's the spiel.
So, yeah. I don't know. Do you want to give the quote, or should I?
I mean, something else that was coming up was, yes, it was a YouTube series. I think in the past couple of episodes, we've talked about how Hank Green helped. Did he help produce it? Now I'm like forgetting what his role is.
He did. Cool. He did produce it.
Yeah, with the help of Bernie Sue, who wrote a few of the episodes and also helped to direct it. So, yeah, background info. Yeah, I think we can quote things.
Okay,
start us off.
So the quote we have to start us off today is, angry people are not always wise, which appears in chapter 45 of the book. And it's the narrator talking specifically about Caroline Bingley, who at that point is about to insult Elizabeth to Darcy's face, which is, as we know, a huge mistake on her part. But I think for this week's podcast, the reason why we thought it would be good is because, well, the reason I thought it would be good is because emotions are really running high in these episodes. We see the confrontation between Lizzie and Darcy, and we see the confrontation between Charlotte and Caroline, which I really enjoyed. And then, of course, Lizzie and Lydia towards the end of the episodes we watched. And it's just a lot of possibly poor decisions being made.
Possibly.
Yes. Well, yes, they are very poor. I will.
They are poor decisions. I don't know if it's impossible. It's a thing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it all kind of stems from this self-righteous anger that Lizzie possesses.
I definitely am in the same mindset about that quote. There's a lot of drama, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of dramatic anger in these 25 episodes. Yes, all of what you said, there's the scenes, and we'll get into this a little bit more, I'm sure, but the scenes in between Lizzie and Darcy. And yes, there is like a lot of self-righteous anger from Lizzie, but there's also a lot of like self-righteousness from Darcy too. There's the whole Caroline Bingley manipulator drama that comes out, and I also really love that. Excited to talk about that more. And yeah, Lizzie and Lydia's will start to the fallout from that whole relationship, which is a whole thing. And I'm sure we will spend some of this episode in talking about, but it kind of gets further developed later. So
yeah.
Look forward to that, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's just, like, you know, because of that self-righteous anger, there's a lot of poor decisions and poor wording and poor action that starts to happen in these episodes that will continue to drive the plot forward, shall we say.
Yep. So where do you want to start?
Oh gosh, where do we want to start?
I mean, we could start with just the beginning, which of Darcy making an appearance.
Yes. I mean, there's like a whole set of episodes that like kind of lead up to it, which I also maybe want to touch on briefly right now. So like you said, the whole like span of this, or a good chunk of it, is that Lizzie is visiting Charlotte at Collins and Collins. And it turns out that, you know, obviously we know Lady Catherine de Bourgh, the investor, has William Darcy as her, is it still a nephew in this adaptation?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I thought so. Just wanted to check my memory. And Darcy like comes in as like a person who is checking up on the organization, but like probably under pretense of really wanting to see Lizzie again, which is like, boy, what are you doing? But also like, I guess you're trying. Pat, you know?
He literally says, like, I'm not here as, like, to look over or whatever the phrase is. I'm here to see you. And Lizzie is like, what?
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 Yeah. Yeah. And, like, a couple of times, like, there's a scene where Charlotte is like, the investors want to meet with you. Darcy wants to see you. He's expecting you. And I'm like, how? I love this, but also like, how did this ask go down? Yeah. This is like my headcanon right now. It's like Darcy in the office being like, I need to meet with all of your team and anyone who was this visitor at this place. And Lizzie must be here.
Yeah, I mean, that's, and Lizzie literally said, she's like, I'm just a grad student. Like, I don't even work here. Like, why does he want to see me?
He's expecting you. Yeah. Oh, man. I also love, like, the way that other characters talk about Darcy, like Fitz. Like, he's got the social skills and of an angorphobic lobster.
Oh, my gosh. I love that.
Oh, what a quote. I love Fitz. But yeah, like the whole Darcy thing, that relationship, we can talk about that more. I mean, like, to lead up to it, you know, Lizzie is getting to know Fitz, and in the episode where they're like sending a care package to Jane, you know, Fitz just kind of like casually mentions that, like, you know, Darcy like looks out for people. He like got his friend Bing out of this relationship, and Lizzie's just like, anger mode activated. Which, like, sidebar, I don't know how Fitz didn't see that, but we can get back to that point. And so, like, her self-righteous anger, you know, excusable or not, but it's understandable at the very least, is coming from, like, this dude just got my sister out of this relationship. Fuck that shit. Which is, like, fair, but also the way that you act from it is questionable. Yeah, that's what I get so far right now.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, like, one, I agree with you. Like, Lizzie is visibly so angry, and Fitz is just like, la-di-da. And
it's
I was
fine.
Just like, how do you not see that? Okay. But I guess suspension of disbelief or whatever. But, yeah, it's just like, first of all, like, why would you even tell that story? You know what I mean? Like, if I was trying to convince somebody to like this person, I would not talk about them meddling in the affairs of a friend. I just feel like that is not something I would do. I don't know, you know?
Yeah, it's certainly a strange example. I guess, like, to me, it was just sort of like a strange way of highlighting his point about, like, Darcy looks after the people he cares about and, like, share that as, like, a recent example, which is, like, still weird, but also, like, I guess I can understand it.
Yeah. I don't know. I the chemistry between Lizzie and Fitz is so good, and it's just, like, that one episode kind of throws it off kilter.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Just like hard for me, it was almost hard for me to watch, like, now looking at it, like, this is just like, I don't know, it seemed out of character for him, I guess.
Yeah, which is why, you know, I had that note about, like, I don't know how he doesn't notice, you know, when they're like buddy buddy chemistry, which I also like really love and adore, gets like so thrown off when she like audibly is just like, and he did this to this person? Like, you can see it in her, like, hear it in her voice. You can see it in her tone, in her body language. And Fitz is just like, yep. And, like, just doesn't recognize it. I'm like, who, what? Okay. Yeah. Interesting. So, yeah. Confused, for sure.
Just like super awkward. Just like,
yeah.
Okay.
But
I will say,
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, like, maybe it's just like more plot. I don't know.
I mean, and in the book, Colonel, right? Colonel Fitzwilliam.
Mm-hmm. Colonel
Fitzwilliam. He is the one to spill the beans to her in the book. So I guess they were trying to, like, mirror that. But it just seems like there must have been a less clunky way to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, like, even in the book, he reveals it. And then she's audibly, you know, or, like, whatever, distressed from that. And he's like, are you okay? Do you need to go home? Like, they could have still mirrored that transaction of being like, oh, and by the way, this is what happened. And still had that moment of like, whoa, you, what, something just happened there. But it doesn't. So I don't know.
Yep. I also do not know. So yeah. I guess so we are aware of
that whole drama. And then, yeah, the Darcy reveal. It's like, that's a whole thing within itself. I remember so vividly at the time of, like, you know, knowing that Darcy was going to show up, and like the whole internet was like, you know, almost like chaotic at the time. You'd be like, oh, Darcy is coming.
Had a meltdown.
Darcy Day. Oh, it's happening. You know, it was just like, yeah, it was a whole meltdown that happened in, like, you know, from the ending of the I forget what episode it was, but the episode that ends with Darcy knocking on the door and being like, excuse me, Lizzie, which is like an iconic Darcy line and will be soon / to, you know, the, well, you guys will never forgive me if I don't show you what happened. And then the whole internet was like, oh, show us, bro. So, yeah, that's the whole thing within itself. Yeah, and then the video of Darcy and Lizzie arguing, straight up arguing with each other is another thing entirely. Yeah, again, that like very self-righteous anger from the both of them, really, about like, you know, those are two characters who I do love truly, being like, I'm right, equally, and it like shows up in this series. Oh gosh, I had a note about this. It was something like, it's such a beautiful verbal tennis match that's like happening. Yeah, that's basically exactly what I said. When they're just like arguing, is just like back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So much righteous anger and being like, rah! Until she's like, you didn't know how much I didn't like you. Watch the videos.
Which angry people like, are not always wise. Like,
yeah, having that was not a like, wise thing to say, bud.
Look at the like 60 odd videos I have where I complain about you literally all the time.
All the time. Yeah. Which videos? And do you regret your choices now?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What do you have to say about all of that?
I mean, I think you basically covered what I wanted to say about that episode. Although, okay, so real talk, I was actually kind of disappointed with the way that Daniel Vincent Gord like appeared on screen. I felt like he kind of took the whole robot Darcy thing to an extreme level. It was just like, it didn't feel like he was a real person to me. Like, it seemed like he was an actor, whereas, like, you know, Ashley Clemens, like, felt like Lizzie to me. But I think, like, as time progressed, I appreciated his acting style more, because I think that, like, the way that Darcy is in that universe, at least, is, like, very stilted, like, social anxiety to the max, you know? I think it just took me a while to like fully appreciate it, and so I enjoyed it more this time around than I think I did the first time I saw it. But yeah, it was super interesting for me to see kind of like the way anger took place in Darcy versus in Elizabeth. Like Elizabeth, her voice gets louder, she becomes more animated. Whereas Darcy seems to kind of shut down with his anger. Like, he becomes very stilted and formal. And, you know, his language is, like, clipped, I guess, for lack of a better word. Which I thought was a good call on his part, looking back on it.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Yeah, I can definitely understand where you're coming from for the David Vincent Gordo. I don't know how to pronounce your last name, bud. Sorry. I'm trying my best. Yeah, I definitely saw like first time around that, you know, he was, I think my reading and still is today, like his character at first is very like blunt and direct, and like again in his own world in a lot of ways, and like comes across as like, you know, as that, and also like, you know, socially is not adept at talking to maybe just Lizzie, but also like also to the world probably. And so like I definitely am in the same vein of like it's really interesting to watch, but again, like the development that we see in the coming episodes, like as I look back, is like, yeah, this kind of tracks for long term who this person is. Yeah. And I think your point about how Lizzie and Darcy both show up in their anger is really, I don't know if I've thought about that too much, but I definitely agree that Lizzie just like starts to get more loud and like animated about it, and Darcy definitely shuts down and is like, oh, I don't, short sentences. Yeah, that's really interesting to watch that dynamic for sure. And we'll continue to do so throughout this series. Yeah. I feel like there was one more point I was wanting to make, but it flew away from my head.
Well, yeah. I guess moving a little bit away from Darcy for the time being.
Yeah. There's many things to say that are not Darcy related.
Yeah, I think Charlotte for me really shined in these episodes. I will say, I think that the way she handles Caroline is fantastic. And just how she has Lizzie's back when Lizzie is like, please don't ask me why I don't want to attend the Halloween party. Like, Charlotte just without questioning is like, all right, okay, let's like whatever you need, you know?
Yeah.
I really liked her character.
I love Charlotte Lou.
Yeah. She's just like, yeah. She is like a very good friend to Lizzie.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. I love the fact that, I think you mentioned this earlier, but like Charlotte in that episode where Caroline comes in is like so obviously fishing for information about Darcy and what was in the letter. Charlotte like has this like sit down moment with her and being like literally calling her out on her shit. And I live for that. It watered my crops.
Yes, cleared my skin.
Cleared my skin. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was so good. Basically like got her to fess up to some of it, but still Caroline was like so manipulative even in that episode, but like her manipulation was more clear, like you could see it happening in real time rather than other episodes where it's just kind of been maybe a little bit more masked. Yeah. But yes, such a good friend, like always there to like stand for Lizzie. Another iconic Charlotte scene that I want to call out is when Darcy comes back and is like handing her the letter. Charlotte is in the room and like stands up to walk away and stops where Darcy is and being like, regardless of your stance over me, I don't like what you did to Jane, and leaves. And I'm like, yes!
Yes, 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 yes! She's like, listen, Darcy, you punk ass. Don't care if you could have me fired. You suck. Amazing.
You suck.
Iconic. Yeah. Iconic. It is truly iconic.
Truly. Yeah. What a gal. Love her.
Yeah. Just, yes.
So, that's where I stand with Charlotte Lou. It's great. Yeah. Yeah. And, gosh, I feel like, there's so many other things to say. Anderberg is a dog. Let's talk about that.
Oh my gosh. You're the most perfect little dog, Annikins.
Ew, what a perfect little poochie.
Oh my gosh.
Also, Lizzie Bennett playing Catherine Derberg is also iconic for sure.
quite something.
Quite something. Lydia runs away to LA. Shall we talk about Lydia and her shenanigans?
Yes. Let us discuss Lydia showing up at Jane's door when Jane is in hair curlers.
Yeah. I feel like, well, so there's some drama that is going on in Lydia's life. And to me, watching it this time, I was really struck by the fact that, you know, she was getting, you know, help from Mary. And it's, you know, she's, like, doing much better in school. And yay. And then, like, some drama happens with Mary. And, like, Mary starts to be like, I don't really want to hang out with you right now. And you can, well, I can tell, at least this time. I don't think I really understood it the first time I watched. But, like, you can so obviously see, or I could so obviously see this time, how sad Lydia was, rather.
Yeah,
how, like, lonely she is. Like, her. But yeah, I was trying to just give a lot of love to Lydia, basically, and just, like, wanting to give her a nice warm hug.
Yeah, I agree. I think, well, and here's the sad part to me is Lydia is doing well in school. And then she has a boy transfer to one of her classes that is harassing her. And so she just starts skipping classes. And instead of asking what's wrong, everybody just assumes she's falling back on her party ways, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is really sad to me. And it's Jane who finally is like, what's wrong? But Jane is in LA and isn't, like, at home, and so Lydia isn't really getting any support, you know, and it's just really sad to me.
Yeah, it is really sad. A lot of people are assuming stuff about her, and yeah, just really can tell how lonely she is, and I was really bummed, to say the very least, about, like, what unfolds between Lydia and Mary for a few episodes where they, like, you know, Mary's, like, has this thing about, like, you should talk to me, I'm your, you know, I'm your cousin, I'm also your friend, but also, like, leave me the fuck alone. Your parents are paying for me to tutor you. Like, there's some weird shit going on. There's some not great juju. And I'm not I was just like, no, why?
Yeah.
Lydia is sad. Give her love. This is not okay.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was super glad that we had those episodes of Jane and Lydia hanging out, because, you know, Jane is giving Lydia that love, you know?
Yeah. Which is great. Glad we have that.
Yeah. Poor Lydia.
Poor Lydia.
And then her reaction to Lizzie giving her that stupid book. I'm just like, I was so mad. You know, I was just so mad.
I don't even know. I don't think I wrote too much about it, other than being like, you done fucked it up. To Lizzie. You done fucked it up. You done fucked it up with your gift of the, you know, like, where did I leave my car, or whatever the book was that had a very similar title. About, like, you know, a party girl's way to get into, you know, society or whatever bullshit. Like, yeah, that's like, even if that is the goal, giving that book to Lydia is real poor taste, bud.
Yeah,
it's just like, come on, man, really? No, you don't need to do this.
Well, and then Lydia has this whole, like, you know, do you have anything to say to me? Like, obviously waiting for an apology, and Lizzie just refuses to give one, you know? And
I'm another infuriating thing. Like, there's, you know, the initial fallout, you know, of Lizzie giving the book and Lydia being like, are you fucking serious? Which, you know, I was also saying that. And then, like, Lydia posts the, you know, video line of, like,
Dear Lizzie,
this is not a good gift. Are you fucking serious? Again, like, not great taste, done in a lot of anger, and says some not nice things, but also, like, can understand it.
Yeah.
And then, like, for the next few episodes, they, like, have a very rough relationship, and it's obviously Lydia being, like, waiting for something to happen from Lizzie, being like, do you want to say something? Again, like you said, like, wanting an apology, which she deserves, and Lizzie, like, pretending not to know what the fuck she's talking about, or, like, refusing to acknowledge that she has done harm, which I have a lot of beef over. So I don't know. It's just weird. I don't like it. Again, like, I don't have siblings, so I don't know if, like, any of the drama is, like, normal, but still, I don't know. I'm still in this vein of, like, even if you are siblings and fighting, like, shouldn't you be accountable to anybody who you have harmed, you know, as just, like, another human being to another? When you have hurt somebody's feelings, you should, like, be like, hey, I hurt your feelings. Acknowledge that shit. A concept.
Well, and really that's the thing, too, is that I don't know. Having a sister that is relatively close to me in age and younger, we got into our fair share of fights, but it would have never occurred to me, A, to give her a book like that, or B, when I did hurt her feelings, you know, yeah, even if I thought I was in the right, I would still apologize to keep the peace. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I feel like the people that I know that have siblings, that's a very common theme, is even if I really refuse, unless it's a really, really big issue, which I personally did not think this was one, for at least on Lizzie's part, and, you know, apologizing just to keep the peace, because they're your sibling, you know?
Yeah. So, and I don't know. It's as easy as being like, hey, the book I gave you maybe wasn't the best gift.
Well, and on top of that, being like, you know, just saying, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. You know, it's, like, really not.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I don't know. So that's the thing that has happened in these episodes. And
yeah,
we'll continue to cause some drama.
And I will say this. I think I have stated before that Lizzie and Lydia's relationship does not feel very, like, genuine sisters to me, which is just going back to the point about how glad I am that Lydia had those scenes with Jane, because I think that feels a lot more like, you're my little sister and I love you and I can tell something's wrong, so let's talk about it, you know?
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. That's what sibling relationship could look like.
Jane is a cinnamon roll too pure for this world.
Too sweet for this world. Again, sending the care package to Lizzie. So cute. Can you even?
No, cannot. Ugh.
Gosh. I have some notes about here. About Mr. Collins and me just being delighted with the fancy, weird way that he talks. We must retreat across the boulevard. Our employees are waiting for us. Ugh, I just like he dumb, but he funny, you know?
Yeah. I really did like Charlotte is able to, I don't know, like mitigate some of Colin's awkwardness, you know, mm-hmm. like whenever she notices that he's kind of overstepping his bounds, she's able to like very gently correct him and is able to get Lizzie to be very polite to him for once, like just going back to Charlotte being like a boss, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Ugh, such a boss. Yeah. I think even Lizzie is just like, soon it's going to be Collins and Collins and Lou. And I'm like, I'm here for it. Let's go.
Yes. Yes. Or maybe just Collins and Lou.
Ooh.
You buy out.
Buy it out. Oh, man. Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything else. I wanted to touch on. Fitz is gay. Kind of forgot about that, but love that story. We love queer rep in a story.
Yes.
Yay. Lady Catherine de Bourgh, I guess Catherine de Bourgh here seems like such a wasp.
She probably is. Let's be real. Is at the very least very white, so
super, super white. Yeah, just like the way that Lizzie plays her is just like, I cannot believe that you would ever do that.
Yes.
Makes me roll my eyes, but also giggle. Be like, oh boy, rich white people.
Not a huge fan, I will say.
No. Gosh, another great Charlotte moment. I totally knew it about Darcy liking Lizzie. What a gal. And
she tries to convince Lizzie of it, too. She's
yes.
like,
yes.
Lizzie, do you think that maybe he could have another motive? And she's like, yeah, he wants to make fun of me. And Charlotte's like, no.
No.
That is not where I was going with this.
Yeah, like, what about all the times he was wingmanning with Bing? Like, pretty sure he read Tolstoy for you, bud. Oh, man. Iconic. Love her. Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, like, another plot point that happens in this, kind of close to the ending of this 25 episode, is the fact that Charlotte kind of, like, doesn't, like, really force Lizzie to share anything about the letter, but, like, you know, pretty clearly is just like, yo, you hypothetically told Wickham's side of the story. Don't you think you should share Darcy's for, I don't know, the sake of equality or whatever she says? Which is fair.
Yeah.
And then the way that Lizzie hypothetically shares about the whole drama from Darcy's side is just kind of like, yeah, Wickham blew through a lot of fucking money in, you know, like what was supposed to be for like 4 years of, I guess, college. He ran out of it in one, mm-hmm. which is like crazy to think about because college costs a lot of freaking money here in the U.S. But I thought it was like really interesting, but I guess like understandable that she doesn't share anything about like the whole Gigi side of the story. And I don't remember. So like for those who may not know or may want remembering, like I remember that in the book, the Lizzie Bennet Diaries book, they have like Darcy's letter in it. But I don't remember what it said. So I was trying to remember if, like, even if in the letter in this adaptation, it shared anything about Gigi.
Continue.
Oh, because I was just going to say it, because I know, you know, in canon, it mentions, you know, Gigi and Wickham's drama and the fact that he, like, you know, went after her for her money and manipulated her into, you know, not a great relationship, shall we say.
Do you want me to read the letter? Because I have the book.
Let's right do it. Next to me.
Lizzie, don't be alarmed. This letter is not meant as a reiteration of the feelings I expressed to you previously, and, as I now know, on video. I won't do us both the insult of replaying that scene. But you once asked me to simply say what I mean, and though I made that my goal when I approached you last, apparently I had not expressed myself well before that. You charged me with two very different crimes last night, and I feel I have the right to answer those charges. The first is that I intervened in the relationship between your sister and my friend Bing. I admitted this freely, and I stand by what I said. The reservations I expressed about your family, specifically your mother and younger sister, and our fundamental differences apply equally to Jane and Bing, but most especially, I stand by what I saw when they interacted. Bing is a person who falls in love easily, be it with a girl or a house in a remote town in Central California. I have seen it happen half a dozen times, and it never lasted. But Jane seemed to be different for him, which is why it was painful for me to see that she didn't seem to be as invested in their relationship as he was. The way she looked at and spoke to him was pretty much the same way she looked at and spoke to everyone, including myself. I will admit I cannot account for Bing and Jane's interactions in private moments and, having watched your videos now, paints their relationship in a very different light. It is possible Jane's feelings for Bing were deeper than I originally thought. No, than I initially thought. That said, it does not justify her indiscretion of the night of his birthday party, nor does it negate the fact that Bing was so easily separated from her. If his feelings were as engaged as Jane's, it would have been a much more difficult task. His summer was tumultuous anyway. It was time for him to get back to the reality of his life. Like I said, Bing falls in love easily. He also falls out of love easily. I'm sorry for any pain your sister may have felt, but perhaps it's best in the long run. I'm very cautious of situations where one of my friends might be getting used. You will see why in a moment. The second charge you lay at my door is that I ruined George Wickham's future by ignoring my father's wishes for his education after my parents' deaths. While you may feel the weight of your accusations about Jane and being heavier, this one is the far worse, in my opinion, because it is patently false. I'm sure it doesn't surprise you that I didn't have many friends growing up. Side note. Oh, poor baby Darcy.
Babe!
Okay. But one friend I did have was George. He was the son of our housekeeper, and she was practically family, having the charge of both my sister and me when we were young and our parents had to be away on business. As we got older, George and I started to go to separate schools and run in different crowds, but I still considered our friendship bedrock. My parents died when I was a freshman in college. Technically, I was an adult, but I didn't feel like one. Suddenly, I was the head of my family's company and the guardian to my little sister, George, who, since his mother had decided to retire, had been less and less in our lives, came to me the day after my parents' funeral. He asked, as he'd recently accepted to college, or as he'd been recently accepted to college, if he would still be able to go, as my father had promised to pay for his education. I told him, of course, I was aware of my father's request and intended to honor it. But when I asked that George have the school send the bills to me, he said that he didn't want to bother me with paperwork when I obviously had so much going on, having to deal with the company and my sister on top of being in school. It must have been run over with grief because I agreed to simply transfer $125,000 to his bank account. I didn't hear from George again, which was unfortunate because I could have used a friend then.
Oh, babe.
Until near the end of his first year. He said college cost more than he thought, and could he please have some of the tuition bills sent my way, as my father no doubt wanted. I have no idea how he spent all the money, but there's not a school in the country that costs $125,000 a year. I told him no. Our relationship suffered after that. I know, again, from your videos, that this is not the story you were told by George. and also that your relationship with him was closer than that of mere friends. So before you discount what I have, before you discount what I say as stemming from jealousy, please consider that I do have proof, bank statements, etc. I've also known George much longer than you have, and while he can be charming, he can also be ruthless. But I didn't know how much he hated me, and had probably hated me for a while, until he took things to the next level and involves my sister, Gigi. As George was around when Gigi was growing up, she naturally looked up to him. She even developed a bit of a childish crush on him, but as George was our close friend, it was considered by all parties involved rather harmless. Gigi grew up and began college herself a few years ago. I hadn't thought about George in quite a while when suddenly, and more recently than I think would make you comfortable, I received an email from him. It was full of the usual cordialities. He was simply saying hi, was eager to catch up the next time I was in San Francisco and put the ugly financial matters of the past behind us. Then he included a photo. It was a penthouse apartment deck at sunset with a girl in a hot tub. I knew that deck, that view, and that girl. It was my sister Gigi, and the photo was taken at her apartment in the city. I left for San Francisco immediately. When I arrived at the apartment, Gigi was, to put it mildly, surprised to see me. She knew nothing and still knows nothing about the email George sent, which was as blatant as a ransom note. George was waiting for me to pull out my checkbook, so I did. He must have been hard up for cash because it took significantly fewer zeros for him to remove himself from our lives this time. But as glad as I was to see him go, he left my sister devastated to realize that the man she was falling in love with had just been using her. I still don't think she's fully recovered. I kept this quiet for my sister's sake, even when I knew he was making me far and wide, or maligning me far and wide, buying friendship with a smile and a round of beers. But if you want a secondary source, ask Fitz. He and Gigi are close, and she confided in him everything, especially during that period when she was refusing to talk to me. This was a very hard letter for me to write, and you may choose to not believe me. You can rip up this letter. And actually, I hope you will when you are done with it. But as you allowed me to be privy to the truth of your perspective through your videos, I hope you will be accepting of mine. Thank you for your attention and giving this letter the benefit of the doubt. Sincerely, William Darcy.
Oh, what a letter, man. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot there. There's a lot to unpack.
There's a lot to unpack. Yeah. I really appreciate, you know, as for, like, a modern interpretation of the in canon letter, that's pretty fucking close and really good. It covers, like, all of the things and also makes them, you know, more of the time.
Yeah.
Definitely, you know, says stuff about the Gigi Wickham, you know, story. Still, I'm trying to think in the adaptation about, like, you know, Lizzie at least acknowledges, like, there's a lot of stuff that was revealed or, like, was said in the letter without saying too much about it that is making me rethink who, you know, who I have been, who I've been associated with. So, like, you know, she's thinking about it at the very least.
Yeah. And I will say, I think the way that that letter is written really, I don't know, it explains to me why Lizzie wouldn't share that part of Gigi's story. Because Darcy even tells her himself that she still doesn't really know. You know what I mean? So, like, she can reasonably believe that at that moment only Wickham, Darcy, and herself know the truth. And I think the letter kind of humbles her in a way in terms of the way that she decides to start sharing information about Darcy. I know in the book literally the next page after that whole thing is Lizzie asking Charlotte if she's gone too far. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Love that. Okay. All interesting things to know. I think like something that I'm still like really curious and maybe a little like what the fuck about is the whole plot line of Darcy excusing this with the fact that Jane did this whatever indiscretion at the party. I guess it was like at the Netherfield party, right? This is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, whatever. I think it like spoilers, but like I think it's revealed in my mind later that Jane was seen by Darcy kissing another boy. And I think like Charlotte would never do such a thing. But like Caroline talked Jane into it somehow. It was just really weird. It's such an interesting plot device that I don't like too much.
Yeah, I don't remember that part honestly. About what exactly went on at that party. I thought, I don't know. I thought that maybe it was like the person that she had been, oh gosh, been seeing Darcy misunderstanding the situation. I didn't think it was that she had been kissing him. I thought it was that this guy was like an old friend that she had been laughing and talking with, that Darcy thought she was flirting with. So I mean, I don't know. We'll get to it eventually, I'm sure. But
yeah,
I don't know. All I remember is if it was that big of an issue, it was easily explained, and all anybody had to do was ask her what had gone on.
Yeah, a concept. You just gotta ask people.
Yeah. But I do think, and this happens later too, but I do like the part of this letter where he's like, listen, you can hate me all you want for separating Jane and Bing, but think to yourself, do you really want your sister to be with somebody who's that easily torn away from her?
Yeah. I don't know. That still seems strange to me how, like, you know, Bing was, you know, so easily parted, as maybe I think Darcy says in this, from Jane. Like, I think in canon, I've always understood it as it was just sort of a manipulation thing from Caroline and Darcy about, like, you know, about trying to separate him and Jane, and he just kind of like went along with it because he was a pure seat syndrome role. Is like, oh, my friends must know better than I. Okay. And I don't know how I feel about this adaptation. Like, why in this adaptation does he do this? I don't, like, even though Darcy's just like, he falls out of love easily and into love easily, I'm like, that still seems strange to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just one person's opinion, you know?
I mean, I agree, though. I think that whole thing is very strange because they're in a relationship. You know what I mean? It's not like in the book where there's like they're getting to know each other, as it were, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was
a strong day.
Yeah, and it was not great of Bing. In fact, I would go so far as to say it was really shitty, which is why, you know, spoiler alert, I'm really glad about the way Jane is like, well, you really hurt me, so things are not going to go back to the way they were right away. Yeah.
Great. Good. So. Those are the things.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have anything else to kind of look over the notes. The word illuminating. gosh. Yeah, that's pretty much it for these episodes, except the fact that, you know, Lizzie makes the decision to do the independent studies and shadow companies, which will be a further plot point, shall we say. Excited to see it.
Yeah. I'm excited too. It's going to be great.
It's going to be so good. Yeah.
So I guess the ending quote that we've got for today is from Lizzie in episode 74, after the whole fiasco with giving Lydia the book, is, "I already told you I didn't mean it the way you took it." And I think that is just a recurring theme, not only from Lizzie, but also from all the other characters, is they say and do things and don't mean necessarily how it comes across, because none of them are really thinking about that, with the exception of Jane. Jane has never sinned in her entire life.
Yeah, that's pretty true. Yeah, it's such a, like, an interesting thing, and I think this is like a lesson that I have learned and I'm still learning, is like, the intention that you have is not always the same as the impact that it has. And so, you know, like, really being thoughtful and, you know, critical about, like, the way that in which you are acting yourself and the way that you're, you know, speaking has a lot of power. And you need to really think about what you're doing and how you're speaking and all of your things, if you want to be like a really thoughtful person. And in this series, a lot of characters don't necessarily do, as of right now, that much thinking about their actions per se. They're just kind of like in this reactive state and not in an intentional state. Which is not inherently bad, it's just a thing. I think what we do as humans is just, like, it really comes to, you know, the front quite a lot in these episodes, and being like, oh, that's not what I thought would happen. That's not the way that I meant it. And then you got to deal with the consequences, y'all.
Yeah. Yep. Too true. So, I guess next time is our last time with the Lizzie Bennet Diary.
Gotta wrap it all up.
Yeah, we are going to be watching the rest of the videos and talking about how it all goes.
Yeah. Unpack the drama and see the wrap-ups. Gonna get through. I think I said this before, but I have never watched the Lydia vlog episodes with G-Dubs, George Wicks, in them all the way through. Ooh, it's gonna be rough stuff.
Yeah, it is. It is rough stuff. Lots to talk about.
Yeah. So we'll get there.
Yes, we will.
Find us on many different places. We have social media platforms. where you can like, follow, subscribe. I think that's all the technical terms. So we are at the Austin Archives on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. So follow along there. And you can also find our podcast on many different platforms, such as Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Anchor. If you're on Anchor, you can leave us little voice messages. We would love to hear from y'all. And what else? Yeah, just again, just wanted to say thanks to all of you out there who are following along, listening along to our journey through these adaptations, and just really appreciate having y'all hang out with us virtually.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to say to wrap us up, close us out?
Nope. Just like what you said. Thank you. You know, sorry we've been so sporadic with when we've been posting, but you know, life has been weird. I think that's true for everybody.
Yeah.
So just continue to hang in there with us. We appreciate it. And stay safe and stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. Wash your hands. Don't touch face.
Yes. Wear a mask when you go outside.
Yes. All the things.